Today on Trends, we're looking at what's happening with the design of art galleries. What do new galleries deliver to the audience and the artist that older gallery designs are just not able to come up with? And how has all this changed the world of art? We're joined from Brisbane by Tony Elwood, the director of both the Queensland Art Gallery and the Gallery of Modern Art. These two galleries together, and they're part of the one complex, are the most visited in Australia, with more than 1.8 million people going to the complex in 2010. Well, Tony, welcome to By Design.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
The Queensland Art Gallery was opened in 1985. The Gallery of Modern Art was opened in 2006. In just 20 years, the style of architecture of galleries has changed. Galleries are getting bigger in volume, wider, higher. What's going on? Is the architecture driving the changes, or was Gomez Brief driving them?
I think it's an international response to contemporary practice and just the changes that have occurred in the last 10 or 20 years. A lot has been to do with availability of materials, the ambitious scale that many artists now demand of themselves. I think also the sort of commissions that are occurring with a lot of public spaces, both indoors and outdoors, requiring big statements means that artists are working in different formats that include large volumes, and our spaces must accommodate that to be relevant to those practitioners.
Yeah, I suppose the most extreme example of that is perhaps the Tate Modern in the UK, which is not just a huge building, but has a lot of wonderfully redundant space, but is nonetheless big enough to house an enormous sculptural spider by Louise Bourgeoise.
Well, that's right. I mean, that whole Unilever series in Tate Modern, in that turbine hall, is really the remnant of its former use. But the artists' commissions in those spaces, in what is an absolutely vast space, they've all been able to fill it in various ways. Some have been floor-based, some have been installations. They've all been wildly different. But it's interesting the way that artists can adapt from a minute space to an absolutely vast scale. I think for an Australian public institution, we have to be mindful of almost that middle ground. What is of reasonable size and how can we accommodate that? And I think GOMA has been particularly successful at being able to achieve that.
I think you stumbled over your words there. I thought you were about to say that GOMA has been particularly sexy, which I think it has. Clearly something good has happened. Do you think the Brisbane complex would have been the most visited art complex in Australia last year if you didn't have such a big open gallery space?
I know formally and anecdotally that people talk about feeling good when they come into our spaces, and they do a lot of the time particularly highlight GOMA, and they talk about the fact that it's welcoming, it's clean, it's airy, it feels like a welcoming environment to go into. If you think about traditional museums, in the 19th century they were devised to be a little bit foreboding, so that only a certain type of person would feel comfortable entering a grand facade. The thinking today, of course, is to be as welcoming and as inclusive as possible. So a building like GOMA, as soon as you're approaching the door, sort of hopefully says to you, please come forward, keep moving. That's, I think, the sort of response that people are having when they're coming through.
Well, GOMA is new, or it's new compared to the art gallery. What has it allowed you to do that you couldn't do before?
I suppose it's about realising sort of quite extreme ambition for a lot of artists. The Asia-Pacific Triennial that we hosted in that building 2 years ago enabled us to reach scales of installation that were just unthinkable for Brisbane, and if not Australia, up until that building. And we were working with large suspended paper sculptures from the ceiling and floor-based works that were soaring up metres. I mean, at the moment, we've just completed a 54-metre wall painting by a Torres Strait Islander artist called Alec Tapoti to sort of herald this new exhibition on the Torres Strait that we're doing. We could not have done anything as impressive as those sorts of projects without a building of that scale.
I wonder how Gomer's led the way in Australia. Mona in Hobart's the newest gallery to open its doors, but it's a private gallery. Do you, however, see any similar architectural aims?
They're large, clean spaces. Mona's very interesting because it's actually almost more like the 19th century principle, because you go in through a very... you go into an entrance that doesn't really call you into it. It's an unusual and slightly discreet way of coming into the building, but then it plummets you down into these vast, beautiful, and what I found very welcoming environments. But they're large, clean, flexible spaces, and that's what Gomer is as well.
This is By Design on ABC Radio National. I'm Alan Saunders, and with me today is Tony Elwood, the director of both the Queensland Art Gallery and the Gallery of Modern Art, GOMA. It's a gallery complex that was the most visited in Australia in 2010. Tony, you were recently on a panel discussion about galleries in the 21st century. Jan Ryan from By Design hosted this. And one of the criticisms of your gallery was that GOMA had become a fun part, that it was an art gallery seen as a place for mass entertainment. Is this a fair criticism, and does it matter? Has the role of the gallery simply changed in our larger cultural life?
In my view, it's not a fair criticism, and that's because fundamentally what we are doing is displaying the vision of artists' work. And those artists don't deserve to be demeaned, if Fun Park is meant to be demeaning, which I believe it is, because every artist, and I think they're referring really to our recent project called The 21st Century, which was an exhibition of over 100 works by artists from all over the world. Each individual artist, in my view, really held up with their integrity intact and didn't deserve to be demeaned because it was incredibly popular. What we do with our marketing, both in terms of all platforms where we reach new audiences and established audiences, is make the show as inviting as possible. Some people will see that as a dumbing down or that we are lessening the educative role, which we're not at all. I just think it took everyone by surprise that the sheer volume of people around that exhibition debunked all these myths about the importance and popularity of contemporary art. We had 451,000 people go into that one exhibition. That exhibition was closed for 5 weeks because of the floods, and our car park access was depleted for half of the season. So it was truly a social and cultural phenomenon for its time. And of course, that is going to bring about different forms of commentary, including, unfortunately, negative comments.
Well, you talk about the role of the educative role of the gallery. I wonder how important galleries remain in performing that function, or whether it's spread across media, other outlets, online and so on. I'd be interested in your thoughts on whether the role of the gallery in art is as important as before.
I think it is. I just think our artists are much more diverse, much more educated when they're coming in. There's a lot of pre-visitor experience information that people are taking prior to coming in as well. So we are, although again some people are critical of this, but we actually provide as many different platforms as we can to help tell the story of the exhibition or of the individual artworks or the period that the work is from. So we're looking at embracing new forms of technology, whether they be smartphone technologies or technological links to labels on the wall or enhanced web or digital publishing, as well as the traditional labels and catalogues. An audience, though, that comes in today, I think, has a thirst for information and it has an inquiring mind, generally. That's not always recognised by some of the critics that comment that if a 16-year-old group is coming into the building, they don't want to be elevated. I disagree. I think they really do.
Does the design of GOMA affect other aspects of life? Tourism, you talk about the large number of visits, philanthropy, partnerships with people outside the art world and so on.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, it's a snowballing effect. As we've seen audiences just steadily rise since the advent of GOMA, we've seen an enhanced philanthropic base. We've had venues contact us to deliver major exhibitions. The Surrealism show that's about to open at GOMA, for example, was because the Pompidou contacted us directly, having seen some of the previous projects or heard about previous projects in Goma. They're also very aware of the spaces, so that's where design or architectural design does help when you're trying to, work in what is an increasingly competitive environment to secure major international experiences and national experiences. So yes, that's all been a very positive growth and consistently across all different platforms.
Well, Tony Elwood, Director of the Gallery of Modern Art and Queensland Art Gallery Complex in Brisbane, now the most visited art complex in the country, thank you very much for joining By Design today.
It's my pleasure, thank you.
Well, something must be working. Is it the art or the architecture? You can comment on the role of modern galleries and their design by going to abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. You can comment there or you can send us an email. We'd be interested in your thoughts.